Hello, my name is Josh McCarthy, and I want to welcome you to another edition of our Ask the Experts weekend here on 104.5 WOKV Jacksonville's News and Talk. And this show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow.
Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. Well, you did it. You yawned, you stretched, you got out of bed, and then you made one of the best decisions you're going to make all Sunday. And what is that? Well, you're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. And this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. The workforce of today, well, that's you. That's us. I don't know any trust fund babies that are sitting around on piles of $100 bills, just peeling them off, throwing them up in the air, don't care where they land because you got so much money. That's not you. That's not me. And if that is you, listen to some other show because I can't help you, okay? And it's dedicated to the workforce of tomorrow, too. That's your kids. That's the young folks that are going to be entering the workforce. We like to give them tips, everybody, tips and advice to help your career to be, help you to be more effective and productive in your careers. Okay? That's what the show's about. We also introduce you to some of Jacksonville's most influential people. We talk to you about the wonderful companies they represent. And every once in a while, someone comes on and they have a new product that's going to hit the market and they tell us about it. And it's we're always the better for it. You know, we're all here in Jacksonville. We're enjoying our Sunday morning. We're learning a little bit of something. But I invite you that if you hear something that you like and something that can help you, jot down some notes, right? Try to do something differently as a result of the time you spend listening to the show. And then if you do that, then I'll feel fulfilled. Guys, you know my name is Pete the Job Guy, but my name's actually Pete Langlois, and I've run staffing companies here in Jacksonville for over 20 years. I help find people jobs. I give people career advice. I help people that are looking for that next step in their career, or perhaps they're looking for a job. I help companies find people that they couldn't find on their own. Or maybe I accelerate the process and help them find people faster. I help the companies when they need multiple temps through their busy season, and I put temporary employees out there. I just love helping people. But for doing this for over 20 years, I've coached people at all levels in their career, through difficult times, through good times and in bad. But that's what I'm here for. That's why I'm Pete the Job Guy. I'm your job guy, North Florida, and I'm happy to help you. I tell you each week I have a great guest, and this week is no different. I have a special surprise for you. But before I introduce her, I'm going to do my monologue. And each week I give you a little Pete-ism or I give you a little bit of advice. Takes me 5-10 minutes. But this is one moment where I invite you to, if you're old school like me, get a pen and paper, maybe jot down some notes because it's good information. If you're new school like our producer, Josh, you'll get your device du jour out and get your thumbs cranking and take some notes. That's the way Josh does it. But either way, listen to this, okay? Guys, in business, you have to keep your emotions in check. You have to be balanced and consistent. Now, let me tell you a little story. This guy is going to a job interview, and he's driving to work, and he feels like somebody cuts him off. And he gets all mad because he gets behind the wheel, and he's a tiger behind the wheel. Crazy. He's mad at the world. You know, he was prepared for his interview, looking sharp, but he gets behind the wheel. Someone cuts him off, and he's mad, flipping him off and high-beaming, doing all the dumb stuff. You know, crazy. Anyway, he gets to the business where he's going to go interview, and he snaps back into it. And on his way up the elevator, he stops by the restroom, looks in the mirror, says, "Man, I'm looking sharp. I got my $25 haircut. I got a crispy white shirt, a bright tie. I have my suit on, and I got my shiny shoes. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to knock him dead." Well, he walks in the interview, and when he opens the door, what does he see? And it's the person that cut him off on the way, that he flipped out on, that he was giving him the finger and yelling and shouting the expletives to. Now, what happens? Okay, because he couldn't keep his emotions in check, and he wasn't even at the office. This didn't seem like a professional setting. But he couldn't keep it in check, and it's obviously cost him the job. There's a circle of life with people and relationships. The very person that you sit next to at work that, you know, maybe you come in a little late or you're a slacker once in a while. You know, you don't think. You know, when nobody's looking, the boss isn't there, you behave one way. Well, you know, maybe 5 years down the road and you leave that job and you're applying for another job, that person could be the person that's interviewing you for the job. And you left a sour taste in this mouth because you weren't consistent. You weren't your best. You know, that's one thing. I had a manager one time that when he walked in the room, he was so inconsistent and irrational and all over the place and emotional. If he walked in the room with a newspaper, I didn't know if he was going to read it to me or hit me over the head with it. He was that inconsistent. What I'm telling you guys, in business, be, you know, don't let your emotions get the best of you. Don't kick a trash can across the street. Once the genie's out of the bottle, you can't put it back. And the very people that you might think are insignificant in your life, in your work life, or in your careers right now could play a much more significant role. And the taste you left in their mouth wasn't a good one. So keep your emotions in check. Two things. Be balanced and be consistent, and you will have a better career. All right, guys, I told you I have a great guest today, and my returning guest today is Michelle Cook. Michelle, welcome back to Hard Worker.
How are you?
Oh, you know, and I'm all overly caffeinated this Sunday morning. You know how
I am. Yes, you are.
Well, let me tell folks a little bit. For those that don't know who Michelle is, Michelle has had a career in law enforcement that spans 28 years. I know there's good in that, but it's 28 years. That's a lot of years.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. I'm just busting. The 28 years. Most recently, she was the chief of police at Atlantic Beach right here in Florida. That's fantastic. And she is running for sheriff of Clay County. That's fantastic. Let's go right from the beginning. And I'm going to dial it down. I know I'm a little bit excited this morning, but Michelle, you know, how'd you get into law enforcement? Why?
You know, I accidentally ended up in law enforcement, and I knew I wanted to serve, and I wasn't quite sure what that was going to look like. And I actually wanted to go into the military, but they wouldn't take me because I had asthma, right? And so then I started looking around at maybe education, and that wasn't a good fit either. And one day for a college class, I ended up in the front seat, not the back seat, the front seat of a police car as an elective. It was an extra, you know, or an extra credit elective to ride along with a police officer. So I'm in the front seat, and one of our first calls, we run lights and sirens to the now demolished landing because there's a fight. And the whole time we were running lights and sirens through downtown, I'm thinking to myself, this is fantastic. I want to do this. So I went home that night, thought about it, got up the next morning, called my parents. And I said, I'm changing my major. I want to go into law enforcement. So my dad gave me a high five. My mom cried. And that is my story of how I ended up in law enforcement. So I ended up going to the police academy in January of 1992.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, that is a great story. Some people, you know, you get the adrenaline rush and say, wow, this is what I want to do. Other people might be shaking in their shoes because you need to put yourself in the line of fire.
Right.
You need to. I mean, that is such a courageous act that it's almost like, I think for most folks, it's unbelievable.
Right.
You know,
but when you have a calling to serve, mm-hmm. when you have a calling to serve, it's something that can't be taken out of your heart, no matter, you know, what at the end of the day, what that service looks like. And so for me, that satisfied my calling to serve because I couldn't go into the military. Teaching wasn't, you know, quite the good fit, although I think teachers are great servants in and of themselves. But for me, law enforcement was the shoe that fit. Definitely.
Well, that's exciting. That's a good story. All right. I think a law enforcement, I think it's, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I would assume it's a male-dominated profession, and you've been a leader for a long time. How does that work out?
Sure. Actually, when I first started in being interested in law enforcement, there were places around here that wouldn't even let women ride on the street.
And, really?
And yeah. So, you know, I was fortunate enough to get picked up by the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, who were allowing women to ride on the street. But I tell you a funny story. So I go through the academy, and I was the littlest one around at the time. But I grew up with two brothers, rough housing and playing sports. So that part didn't bother me. Well, when I went to get fitted for uniforms, all they had were men's smalls. And they gave me these uniforms, and they said, just go get them altered. And so I would get my uniforms altered, and literally the back pockets in the back of my pants were touching in the middle. And my sleeves would hang down way past my arms. And, you know, all my equipment was just huge on me. And it got to a point they felt so bad for me. The agency felt so bad for me that they told me to go to Sears and buy what I needed. So I'm at Sears buying boys' blue pants. I'm in the boys' section buying dark blue pants to wear to work. So it always has, you know, it is a male-dominated industry. Back then, much more so now, we're getting more women in law enforcement, but it still only sits at about 12 to 14% across the country of women that come into law enforcement.
Wow. Right. So what, and I know you, through the years, you've been promoted up through the ranks. What was your highest rank? And give us an idea of the scope of responsibility that goes along with that.
Sure. So I think, you know, probably starting about 15 years ago, I started getting more and more responsibility. I promoted my way up under four different sheriffs at JSO, and then I was the chief of police. You know, I would say there's probably two jobs that are equal in many ways. When I retired as the director of operations for the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, and as the number three in the 25th largest agency in the country,
wow,
I had over 1,000 officers that reported to me, $100 million budget. In my division, over 1,000 special events that occurred every year that came under my command, all of that. So there was a lot of responsibility in that regard. You know, but at the end of the day, I was still there to execute the mission and vision of the sheriff. So when I retired from there and ended up out in Atlantic Beach as a chief of police, I didn't have as many people or as large of a budget, but, you know, it was me. Everything landed on me. Every decision was my decision. The mission was my mission. The strategic, you know, objectives were mine every day. And so that was a huge responsibility in so many ways, because at the beginning and end of every day, it was on me to make things work.
Do you ever get excited? Because, I mean, when you have 1,000 people in your downline.
Right.
Do you get excited when people that were reported to you get promoted and move up through the ranks?
Absolutely. You know, I love, I was fortunate because I got to be part of the promotion process at the sheriff's office. So for probably about 20 years, at some level, I was part of the promotion process. So I would either help write promotional exams or help set up what are called assessment centers. We would bring the officers in and give them scenarios and see how they would handle it. To your point, you know, that you talked about in the monologue, can they stay calm under pressure? Can they make quick decisions? Do they know what has to be handled immediately versus what can wait? And then how do they process what has to be handled immediately so they land on a sound decision? And quite honestly, are they willing to make a decision? Because I think, you know, a lot of times it's easy to say, I would have done this. Well, what if you're there in that moment? You know, can you handle that? So being a part of that promotional process I thoroughly enjoyed it, because you got to watch very talented people move up through the ranks. And that's always a good thing when you see people taking on more and more responsibility and more leadership.
Talk about your work and your role as the incident commander. I don't understand it. Tell me about this.
So, right now I serve as an incident commander for one of the teams in Northeast, in Florida. There's either five or six teams, depending on, you know, the Miami area. Do they have one or two teams? And so I serve as an incident commander for one of the state teams, and there's about 50 to 60 people on our team. And so any community that's in crisis, whether it's fire, flood, missing person, hurricane, train derailment, plane crash, they will call upon our state team if they need assistance to come in and help them manage through the incident. So we have a couple of incident commanders on our team. me being one of them, and we will get called by the state or by surrounding jurisdictions to go in and help manage these crisis events.
Wow, outstanding. You know, right now, let's take a quick break and listen to a message from our show sponsor. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
Welcome back, all you hard workers. Yeah, that was Angie right there. You know, an exciting announcement that happened. Angie Staffing was recently purchased by Ascendo Resources. Now, if you want to get a hold of Angie, you go to Ascendo Resources and call Angie. Now, don't fret, because she's still the managing partner right here in Jacksonville. And we're happy because Angie is bringing back the hustle. Guys, you know my guest today is Michelle Cook. She's running for sheriff of Clay County. Michelle, 28 years in law enforcement. I'm sure you've helped a lot of people, either directly or indirectly. I mean, countless. But every, you know, there's got to be a few or a story maybe you could share with us, one that sticks with you where you've helped somebody.
Sure. You know, been law enforcement, you know, you talk about social work and the rubber meets the road. And as an officer, you really have daily opportunities to help people. And, you know, that's always a great thing. One story that sticks out for me is when I was, I rode patrol over on the north side of town, and I got to know a bunch of the kids that lived out there. They were in elementary school at the time. And so I would, you know, make sure they got to school. And if they were having troubles at home, I'd make sure, you know, stop by and check on them and stuff. And I got to know this one young man very well. You know, father was absent, mom was having challenges, he was living with grandmother, good kid, just having some challenges. Well, he ended up shooting somebody. He ended up finding a gun one day and shot a kid that was bullying him at middle school and ended up going to prison. But even while in prison, I would still keep in contact with him on occasion, and we would talk about life and decisions and you know, how to make things better. And so now he's a 30-year-old man, and he is a longshoreman, and he travels the world on a ship. And to think that he came from a neighborhood where he saw no out, and now he calls me, sometimes collect, from places around the world and tells me all the great things that he's seeing. And, he calls me mama, especially when he wants some money. right. But, you know, I think about young people like them, and you can, you know, you can't help everybody, but you can truly change the life of one person. And, you know, I think of his name is Terrence, and I think of Terrence often, and we talk probably once every other month or two. And so to me, you know, I think about all the days I would drive him around and talk to him and take him to go get something to eat as a kid and just have these really good conversations with him. And he made a terrible choice. When he was involved in that incident, but, you know, still stayed with him as his friend. And once he got out of jail, you know, reconnected with him and help him keep him on the straight and narrow. So that's, you know, I really, you know, that's one thing that brings a smile to my face when I think about those kids out there, and especially Terrence.
Yeah. You know, that is a good story, because, you know, even though he had that one incident, there could have been a series of incidents had you not offered some
sure.
advice, some guidance, and sometimes just a sounding board helping someone. So that's a great story. I appreciate you sharing that. I want you to talk, please, about your work as an active shooter instructor.
Okay, so that's something I'm very passionate about. I work for an organization. We travel around the country, and I teach police and fire EMS dispatch leaders around the country how to manage active shooter incidents. We started doing this about 7 years ago through the Department of Justice, through a company. And, unfortunately, it's needed in this day and age. But to your point earlier, you know, staying calm and managing through things and not letting emotions get to you as a police leader, especially in a critical incident like this, like an active shooter incident, I teach police leaders, fire leaders, how to remain calm, how to make good decisions. How do you start managing? How do you start leading your first responders through this incident so that your community and your agency can recover faster? So something I'm very passionate about doing.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Okay. So what should we look for in a law enforcement leader? I mean, you know, I'm John Q. Public right now.
Right.
What should we look for from our law enforcement leaders?
Number one thing is integrity. You got to have integrity. That is the one thing that your law enforcement, your chief law enforcement officer has to have is integrity. Experience. You got to have somebody that has real experience managing and working through critical incidents. That's not something you can just wake up and start doing one day.
Right.
You got to have that experience. And then, you know, leadership ability. You got to be able to inspire and motivate people, especially when things are down or all odds seem against you sort of thing. You've got to be able to motivate and inspire and lead young officers through incidents.
Yeah, and Michelle, you have a long history of doing just that. I was proud to donate to you to help the cause for
you.
I know
you.
You're running for sheriff. How can we get if people want to learn more about you or potentially donate, how can they do that?
Well, thank you, Pete. So we have we're on Facebook, Michelle Cook for Sheriff, and the website is votemichellecook.com. So www.votemichellecook.com.
VoteMichelleCook.com. Go to it. Michelle, I'm going to ask you this question, and this is one of my favorite. I ask all my guests this, and I know you listen to the show, so you're probably over there. Oh, here it comes.
Here it comes.
Everything that you know now, here you are at this point in your career, and you've learned so much. You know, what advice would you go back and give 19-year-old Michelle Cook?
Networking. I think, you know, I didn't learn the value of networking until I got a little bit further along in my career. And the relationships you build now, to your point again in your monologue, you don't know where those bridges will lead later on. So really paying attention to who I'm with now and building that relationship with them and network with them. So even if you don't run into them for 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road, they still have a good sense about you and you can bring that relationship back to the forefront. So I would say probably, you know, network.
Very good. Guys, vote Michelle Cook. VoteMichelleCook.com. Go to it. Michelle, thank you for being on Hard Worker with Pete the Job
thank
Guy
you,
this
Pete.
Morning.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye, Michelle. Josh, push the door so she can push the button so she can get the door
who's
out.
Who's going to push the button to control your volume?
Well, who's? Sorry, Michelle. I guess she
you can't leave. You're stuck in here.
What a great guest. Are you kidding me? I have Michelle Cook come back to the show, spend her Sunday morning with us. Think about that, guys. She's running for sheriff, 28 years in law enforcement. I could think, you know, if you're going to run for that office, you better have a track record of success. And that is one person that just success, success, success at every level. And she's someone that I know, you know, when I go to bed, my head hits the pillow that I would feel safe having her as my sheriff. And I donated to the cause. Guys, make sure you go to Michelle Cook or VoteMichelleCook.com that you'll get everything you need there. You want to learn more information about her career, you know, where she, all the good stuff, all the information you need to make an informed decision is right there. Michelle Cook for Clay County Sheriff. So glad she was here this morning. That music tells us right now we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back, all you hard workers. Well, man, if you missed the first part of this show, shame on you. What's the matter with you? Set your alarms a little bit earlier because it's that important. This week, my guest, goodness, she was here for the first half. She's gone now, but it was Michelle Cook, and she's running for sheriff of Clay County. VoteMichelleCook.com is where you need to go. You Google her up. There's all kinds of information. But you go to that website, and you learn about her. You learn about what she's done over her career. This is someone who is passionate and I believe has had a calling to serve people. And she has all the ingredients that any citizen could look for in their law enforcement leader. She's fantastic, and I was pleased as punch to have Michelle come on our show once again. So, and that's an open invitation. I want you to come back, Michelle. You're a fantastic guest. You share good stories, and it's very relevant. So thank you. All right, guys, this show, you guys know I'm Pete the Job Guy. I run staffing agencies right here in town. Ascendo Resources is now run by Pete Langlois, Pete the Job Guy, and Angie Langlois, my wife. We have over 20 years of running staffing organizations right here in Jacksonville, Florida. The types of people we place day in and day out, easy for me to say, are accounting and finance people. So if you're anything from your clerk level, accounts receivable, accounts payable, accounting clerks, up through bookkeeper, staff accountant, auditor, senior staff, assistant controller, we even get into some financial analysis. We place folks, controller. This last month we placed a chief financial officer, and we're placing a couple controllers right now in Jacksonville, and we're very proud to help folks. Now, the overwhelming majority of the people that we place are currently employed that aren't looking for jobs, meaning if you place an ad, it's not going to be seen by the folks that we represent. We represent people that have good jobs that, we have to entice them away. So when you call me and say, Pete, I need a controller, I'm going to sit down with you. We're going to spend a lot of time, more so than maybe some other agencies and recruiters might. I want to learn, all about your corporate culture. Sure, I want the job description. I want to know the ins and outs of what they do, but I want to understand the intangibles. What's it take to be successful? What do you look for in the candidate? A successful candidate must have, and not just has to have a solid degree from an accredited school and, minimum of a 3.6 GPA or whatever it is. I want to know what you're looking for and what the other folks didn't have. And, where do you get the most luck pulling people from? And then I call into companies all day. Do you know in my LinkedIn network here in Jacksonville, I have over 10,000 business connections. Now, not the folks that I've never heard of before that send me, an invitation and they're in a different country or a different city. I have 10,000 connections that I'm proud of here in Jacksonville that are people that are business folks, leaders, that they're making a solid contribution to society, either in accounting and finance or technology and, in these types of professions. And through those relationships, I build trust. There are people that I have placed as an accountant 20 years ago that are now controllers and CFOs. And who do they call when they need help? They reach out to me. It's a circle of life. It's funny. Today's candidates are tomorrow's clients. And then those clients might be impacted by a company moving or relocating or they just closed the business or there's a reduction in workforce. And so today's candidates are tomorrow's clients. And then the clients can be candidates once again. It's a circle of life. That's why the relationships that I forge are cradle to grave. I work with you. I don't place you and then forget about you. It's not a set it and forget it relationship. I want to work with you throughout your career. Guys, Ascendo Resources, ASCENDO, Ascendo Resources. Ascendo, my partners are Latin American, and Ascendo means to rise in Spanish. And we're rising above expectations day in and day out. Guys, this next part of the show is where we have Coach Larry O'Brien give us our leadership lesson. Now, he's kind enough to do this each and every week, and this guy is in demand, but he does this for us, and this is probably the best segment to get out your pen and paper and take some notes, because when Coach Larry shares information with you, it's designed to help managers become effective leaders, and there's a big difference between being a manager and being a leader. With no further ado, let's get this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
I had a great conversation with a client this week, and I hope she's listening. We are talking through candidates who were applying for a job opening. One person was highly qualified and can step right into the role. The other person can make some impact, but would need some polishing, and there was a whole lot more to the role than this person had ever done. And the thing is, the position had been open for a while. There was another candidate who was absolutely perfect and ultimately decided not to take the job. So who would you hire? Well, it's not that simple, as you know. There are a lot of considerations, and today I want you to consider one more thing. This comes from a great HBR article by Huislid, Beatty, and Becker called A Players or A Positions. The gist of the article is that not all positions are the same. Should you always hire an A player, you know, the best of the best, or is hiring a B player the better move? A players are your superstars, your high performers. B players are your rock stars. They're reliable and they do really good work. It's just that they're not your superstars. What they tell us in this article is that we need to have our A players in our A positions and our B players in our B positions or roles. You might be thinking that I need a company full of A players. I need superstars everywhere. That's a good thought, but let me ask you, can you afford to pay A player salaries everywhere? Do you have enough upward mobility to keep every A player happy? Is the work such that everyone will be challenged enough? The answer is no. I doubt it. As a matter of fact, probably less than 20% of the positions in your organizations are A positions. An A position is defined by to what extent it has a direct impact on the strategy, to what extent the scope of authority is autonomous, to what extent someone's performance in that role has a direct impact on creating value for the company, perhaps creating revenue or even reducing costs. And yes, these roles typically have high consequences for failure. Compare that with B positions, where you might have a stellar performer in that role compared to an average performer in that role, and it doesn't make that much of a difference to the company. I was consulting with an insurance company in Argentina, and we were going through the process of identifying their A positions. In other words, where do we need our top talent to be? Typically, people will say, oh, the CEO, of course, that's an A position. Management roles, we need leaders. Those are A positions. Sales roles. And that is not always the case. As we are going through this process, the operations leader spoke up and said that the quality checker is an A position. Quality checker? Really? People were looking at each other and smirking a bit. So I asked, what does a quality checker have to do with the strategy? She went on to explain that in Argentina, the business is still relatively young. A lot of companies don't have repeatable processes in place, and there is a high degree of customization because the laws aren't as restrictive as they are in the US. Their company is known for getting it right. When you get your policy in the mail, that is a promise, and that promise has to be done right. No errors. That is what differentiates them in the market. When you're going to buy life insurance and your kids are going to collect on it in the future, it's got to be done right. And the customers pay a premium for this, she said. The quality checker is the last person to review the whole underwriting and the policy to make sure it's 100% correct. Just imagine if policies started having issues. Our brand would be negatively impacted, then we would be just like everyone else. Everyone was silent. She was absolutely correct. And as a result, the company made sure that in the future, they had the best talent in the quality checker positions. So here's the bottom line. It's critical that we know where our A positions are. It's not only critical when you are hiring someone, but it's also critical when you are assessing your team's performance. I often ask, what if you had the positions on your team become open again? Would you hire the same people? Perhaps you have some B players in A positions and some A players in B positions. In other words, they are not bad people. They are just not in the right roles. And a tip here is to get over the need to feel that all your positions on your team, including your own, are A positions. Getting back to the hiring decision my client was making, it came down to the fact that the position was not an A position. It was an important position, but not an A position. She had another A position on her team, and she had an A player in it. Therefore, she decided to go with a person who was less experienced and had some room to grow. Now, if you want this article, please reach out to me via my website, MendozaAndOBrien.com. I have a lot of tools that can help you analyze your workforce positions and ultimately can help you make the right hiring decisions.
Oh, thank you so much, Coach Larry. And I highly recommend all of you go to MendozaAndOBrien.com. That's how you, the best way, easiest way to reach out to Coach Larry, MendozaAndOBrien.com. Or you can always go to LinkedIn. His name is Larry O'Brien. And very easy to reach him. And I've known Larry for over 25 years, and he is the best of the best. All right, guys, this next part of the show, you know, we have our intern, Zane Beverly. And Zane talks to us, and keep in mind, let me put it in context. He is a senior over at UNF. He's a communications major, sharp guy. He's our intern. And I ask Zane each week to talk about the workforce of tomorrow, some of the concerns. Now, again, if he's a senior right now, he's going to be entering the workforce full time. I say, what's on your mind? What's on the mind of people just like you, the workforce of tomorrow? What are you thinking about? And what should people be thinking about? And maybe give them some advice. So each week he's here in the studio with us. Unfortunately, he couldn't be with us this morning, but he sent in his segment. So with no further ado, let's get this week's update from Zane Beverly, our intern.
Zane the intern here with your weekly tips and tricks for the workforce of tomorrow. This week, we're talking about diversifying your skill set for the chaotic job market of today and tomorrow. Now, you can't do what your grandfather did back when he was your age and start as the mailboy down at the firm or the company and work your way up to an early retirement. No, nowadays, career paths are much more unstable. People are switching tracks, doing a little bit here, doing a little bit there, and it's going to be even more wild for our generation and the generations to follow us. That's why diversifying your skill set is an extremely important part of the workforce of tomorrow and today. A diverse skill set is going to help you out in the gig economy we're living in right now. And I love that term because that's a great explanation to what's happening right now. Everything's short term. Nothing's long term anymore, except for a few people, some of the old timers getting out of the business in a couple of years. But for us, for the youngins, it's short term. We go from one job to another, and we need the skills to be able to transition from these jobs to the next. There's companies out there, there's services out there that are all about helping people learn skills in a short amount of time and without much commitment. You can learn things like programming, video editing, cooking. You can have these skills on the back burner, and if anything arises, any opportunity shows up, you can take it. You can grab it. That's the next job. That's how you're making your money for the next 1, 2, 3 years. And then you keep on moving. You move on to something that maybe was in your field of choice at the beginning, or maybe something completely different. Who knows? It's all up in the air now. I've always wanted to get into radio or entertainment, but who knows what's going to happen? Maybe this internship turns out well and I get to work here at the radio station. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe Pete hates me and he kicks me out to the side of the road and I go work for some restaurant or something. I don't know. None of us know what's going to happen. There are no plans set in stone anymore. You got to be ready for the big shakeup. And nothing will help you prepare more than having a wide swath of skills that you can pull out at any time and seize the opportunities in front of you. So check out these services, check out these websites. They're going to help you out. I'm not going to name any here. Do some Googling. You know how to do it. You're young. I've been Zane. You've been you. I hope you had a great time. Thanks for listening.
All right, Gen Z for Zane. Zane, good job. Zane Beverly, our intern, and that's his segment this week. Thank you so much. Guys, now it's a good time to take a break and listen to a message from our show sponsor. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
All right, hard workers, that's a message from our show sponsor, Angie. And Angie is, oh, wait a second, she's not president of Angie Staffing. Angie Staffing was recently purchased by Ascendo Resources right here in town. But don't fret, because Angie is one of the managing partners of Ascendo Resources right here in town. So she is bringing back the hustle, and she is awesome, and she is still placing, recruiting, staffing, and she's finding the great talent for all the great companies here in Jacksonville, Florida. Ascendo Resources, reach out to Angie, and she'll help you. All right, guys, what a show. Michelle Cook, running for sheriff of Clay County, was our guest today. If you missed this show earlier, you missed the whole first half, it's okay, because tomorrow or perhaps Tuesday, we upload the show to my website. So you'll be able to listen to this podcast in its entirety, which is great. So it's pretty easy. All you have to do is go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. That's my website, PeteTheJobGuy.com. You click on radio show, then click on episodes, and you'll have all my past shows right there. And you'll see the picture, who my guest is, what the topic is about, and you can listen to all of them, one after the other. And that's what I suggest you do. You just get in a room, get this crazy headset on, throw on some like strobe lights, and then listen to every freaking show, one after the other after the other. Don't eat anything. Don't drink. Don't go to the bathroom. I want you to do this and do it right now. Guys, if there's a topic that you would like me to address or have my guests perhaps talk about, maybe you want some career advice or some information, just email me, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. And what we do, I answer my email, you know, and I answer it pretty quick. If it ever gets backed up, Josh and I just start reading emails on the air. You know, pretty quick here, I got an email the other day. How come you never take callers? You know what? How about I call you? How would you like that, huh? No. Hey, listen, I do take callers, you know. Maybe next week I'll take some calls. But, you know, I have a lot of information to get out, and I have a short amount of time, so I get as much out as I possibly can, all right? And then I have great segments like this next one I'm going to tell you all about. This is where Boston Danny gives us our Boston update. Each week, Danny comes on, and he'll tell us about the weather in Boston. Then he'll brag about his sports teams. Okay, great. And then he does my favorite part, which is he gives shout outs. So if you have a birthday, an anniversary, you have, you know, somebody does an accomplishment, and you want to recognize them, just send me a note, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com, and say, I'd like Boston Danny to say happy birthday to so-and-so. And he does it live on the air. With no further ado, let's get this week's Boston update from Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here with your Northern update. So, you know, things are still February for us up here. It's still hot, cold, what we consider hot. You know, it gets up to the 40s, but then it drops back down to the teens. So we got that going for us. It's just been a very mild winter for us up here. We've been getting a lot of storms, but thankfully it's only been rain. But when the rain comes, it's coming up from the south from you guys. It's loaded with a lot of moisture. Remember, we got a rule of thumb here: an inch of rain equals a foot of snow. So anything that comes our way that isn't, frozen, we're happy with. And that's what we do up here. But we keep our eye, we keep warm with our sports. You know, everything's going, you know, nobody has answers for the Patriots. But whatever comes through with it, we'll deal with it. I'm sure Belichick will have to hit the ground running, as always, with all the new personnel that he got there. And I'm looking forward to the Red Sox. We're trying to, you know, figure out our own house up here. But we'll put together a good team this season, and we'll get everything going. The Bruins are flying along. We're doing our thing up here. We got a lot of wins. We got, you know, our guys are doing fantastic individually for their statistics. And our Celtics, well, we're still in the running here. Also, we just had, I don't know if anyone's familiar with it, but we got a big annual tournament up here. It's called the Beanpot, and it's it's an annual ice hockey tournament. It's held between the four major college hockey programs in Boston. BU, BC, Harvard, and Northeastern. They're pretty much the power teams up here, all the elite hockey. And it's a it's a tournament. It's called the Beanpot. It's it gives the winner bragging rights over their crosstown rivals, and it's been held every year since 1952, and it's been going strong. It's always a great tourney, and it's always sold out, and it's great hockey to watch. The kids really go hard because they're against each other, and this year it was won by Northeastern. So they beat BU in double overtime. It was very exciting. This is their third one in a row. Northeastern's had a drought, so it's very good to see them keeping their streak going. I think the longest one, you have to go back in the records, but I think it was five in a row by BU. That was back in the 80s. So they pretty much trade that trophy back and forth. But, there's no duck boat parades down Boylston Street, but they have a good time with it. So that's something to keep an eye on, folks. If you like the hockey up here, we thrive on it in these times to get us to the springtime. So we got your shout outs, the birthdays. Keep them coming, folks. We're gonna mangle them and wish everybody a wicked happy birthday. Remember, do it for yourself because nobody else likes to do it for you, and it's your birthday. So have a wicked pisser birthday, Dot Waters, Stacy Harris, Mike Wilson, Michael Mosby. And, as always, we got a special shout-out to our first responders and peacekeepers and all our servicemen and women. So, brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, enjoy your Sunday. And, Peter, I'll be talking to you.
Oh, that's it, Boston Danny, another gem. I appreciate you, man, and I'm glad you'd give out those shout-outs because people love hearing their name on the radio. If you want to recognize somebody for their birthday and anniversary special event, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com, and we're happy to tell Boston Danny so he can give you a wicked piss of shout-out like only Boston Danny can. This show today, to me, was great. Michelle Cook, running for sheriff of Clay County, was my guest today. If you missed the show, go to my website, PeteTheJobGuy.com, on, Monday late afternoon, perhaps by, Tuesday midday. No doubt they'll have that show loaded up, this show, in its entirety on my website. So you can listen to the podcast and hear about Michelle Cook's journey in law enforcement and why she is the ideal candidate for sheriff of Clay County. VoteMichelleCook.com. I want to thank Coach Larry O'Brien, and I want to thank my intern Zane Beverly, and I want to thank Boston Danny. Guys, you've just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.